Good morning and welcome to Chapel, the second chapel that's part of Carnival de Resistance. We are pleased to have Kevin East and Jay Beck and David and others and friends here not only for chapel but this evening for a performance of a program that's really more than performance. We also were pleased to work with some skill shares yesterday in the afternoon and evening in preparation for a parade, kind of a public witness parade that's tomorrow at 4:30, and we invite participation in that as well. I'd like us to welcome the Carnival de Resistance, especially as Kevin, who is one of the primary coordinators at this time, and we'll turn it over to them.
It's an honor to be here. It's been really remarkable to receive such support from the faculty and the staff and the administration of Eastern Mennonite University. And we are excited to lead you through worship today. Part of this worship is about priming you for the production that we're sharing this evening, which is our air show. So I will invite my friends up on stage. We have Jay Beck from Philadelphia, Paola from Puebla, Mexico, David, also from Mexico, Chris, who is local to the Shenandoah Valley, and Jessica, who's from Michigan. We will begin with an opening prayer. Oh, I'm also going to share that we are bringing music from different world traditions, different spiritual traditions that are outside of the dominant culture. And this is in part because we believe that the God of liberation is one that is most understood by those who are feeling the pressure and the oppression of the dominant culture. So we draw in and hold and stand in solidarity with these cultures around the world. So we're gonna and also we are listening to the voice of air through these other musical traditions. So we're going to have some didgeridoo from the Aboriginal music of Australia and some throat singing from Tuva.
Join me in our opening prayer. I will be reading the light print, and you the bold. O Holy Spirit, who at the beginning of creation moved over the face of the waters, O Holy Spirit, who inspired the prophets of old to speak boldly to a stiff-necked generation, empower us to speak prophetically in our day. O Holy Spirit, who came as a dove at the baptism of Jesus, Oh, Holy Spirit, who led Jesus into the wilderness and sustained him through his temptation. Oh, Holy Spirit, who on the day of Pentecost put fire into the lives of the early disciples.
Set us aflame to reveal the risen Christ
in our world. Now we must sing together. We sing that the spirit cannot be killed. Spirit and air and wind and breath are the same in many languages. So sing with us. We'll sing through all of our verses, and then we'll start a round, and you can join the round with that side if you want, or you can stay on the first part with us. You can't kill a spirit, she is like a mountain. Old and strong, she goes on and on and on. You can't kill the spirit, she is like a river. Deep and long, she goes on and on and on. You can't hear the spirit, she is lighted like a tree. To the earth she belongs, she goes on and on. She goes on and on and on. You can't kill a spirit. She is like a mountain. Bold and strong. She goes on and on and on. You can't kill the spirit. She is like goes on and on and on. She goes on and on and on.
So, how many of you have gotten to check out a show over at our venue? Thank you. Thanks for coming and playing with us. You'll notice that we are doing four shows that each focus on one of the four elements. We had an earth show last Saturday. We had an air show that we are reprising, sharing again this evening. On Friday, we have a water show. And on Saturday is our big finale with our fire performance. And our thinking behind this choice to highlight each of the elements is that we have seen, as we study Scripture, that the voice of God and the Spirit of God, the Creator God, is made known through these elements over and over again, the times of transition, the times of transformation within the story of the Hebrew people and in Jesus' parables. They have to do with these elements, with the crossing through the waters, with a light aflame on the bush, with Jacob sleeps with his head on a rock and has the vision of the ladder, the gate to heaven. Elijah is fed by the ravens. Over and over again, it's the call, God's call is understood when it is in this context of wild spaces. And we believe that this tradition is our Judeo-Christian tradition. The roots of it are a wilderness tradition that John the Baptist called folks out of the economic centers, out of the cities, and into a wild space to repent and to be renewed in their spiritual commitments. Jesus did the same, and that is an echo of what happened when Moses drew folks out of the military and economic superpower of Egypt and into a wilderness pilgrimage. And we believe that the great challenges that we are facing right now in our day are the multiple crises, multiple ecological crises, water crises, energy crises, climate change, the increased toxification of our world needs to be answered not just with new practices and creative, collaborative innovations of our communities, but it needs to be met with a renewed spirituality. That we must examine what it is that has fragmented our lives and disconnected us from the health of the earth. And as we feel and relate to the integrity of creation and long to support the integrity of God's creation, that gives us the energy and the inspiration and the insight about how to change course and move towards practices of sustainability, move towards practices that will support thriving communities.
Yes, I'm Jay, and to just piggyback with what Tevin was saying, I don't feel like anyone's still in denial about the environmental crisis, right? We all are pretty much aware of what's happening. I know that EMU is more than conscious. I've seen a lot of amazing actions and beautiful work that's happening on campus and abroad through your community. So thank you for that work. We feel like we're sharing with kindred spirits. But we also know that for far too long, this environmental crisis has come to be because of the bad theology that's behind it, right? And we have some reckoning to do inside of our Christian tradition, where for too long it's been partnered with the forces of colonialism, racism, environmental destruction, and especially the decimation of indigenous cultures and the demonizing of their practices and ways. And now we are saying, uh-oh, we don't know how to live right with the land. And, you know, all those pagans did, and for a long time, and pagans was in quotes for the audio recording of this, just, so the, what we're listening to their traditions as, you know, the new green movement inside of the radical Christian left is saying, you know, all these things of, I don't know, like we're reinventing and finding these ideas of, we're interested in sustainability, we're interested in right relationship with the land, we're interested in village type things and local food and permaculture and all those non-Christian traditionalists, the indigenous cultures, lived that way for thousands and thousands and thousands of years before Christianity came. And so honoring them, listening to that, and trying to reconcile, if our work and the call of the Holy Spirit is to reconcile and restore ourselves to God, ourselves to each other, all things back to right relationships, we have some serious justice work to do to those people and to the land that we all live on. And so we feel like we need to look at the scriptures through an indigenous lens instead of through a colonizer's lens. And some of that is, and some of that is not even conscious in our heads. I know for us, the stuff that we've been unearthing in our own readings and understandings, what we got taught growing up is you know, breaking out, and we're seeing what these stories really meant for the first time because we're starting to look at it through an indigenous lens. And one of the ways that we're playing with that in our shows is the Jewish concept of Midrash. I'm sure some of you guys are familiar with that. There are specific Midrashes that rabbis have written over the years, and one rabbi that I really liked his explanation of what Midrash is, he says that all the black marks on the page is Torah. All the white stuff is Midrash. So, and he said that scripture is like a gem that you have to keep turning and turning, and everything is in there. And as you keep turning in and turning it, the light hits it from different angles, and you understand another aspect of what the Spirit was trying to communicate. And so if you come tonight, I want to give a little bit of a primer so that it's not as confusing. We want there to be some elements of mystery and tension, and we're not force feeding a concept. We're lifting up the questions and trying to listen to the Spirit. But some of the things are very paradoxical. Some of the things are potentially confusing, and that's okay. But I think if you have an idea of where we're trying to go with the pieces, you might be able to enter into it better tonight. So I'll share some of the reasons why we're drawing on that tradition of Midrash. So looking at the scriptures and looking at some characters in the scriptures and saying, huh, I wonder what they were thinking while that was happening. And so for tonight, as we do our air show, as we're listening to the Spirit of Wind, the two main characters in our theatrical piece is the raven and the dove. And those were the two birds that Noah released from the ark. He released the raven first and it didn't come back, and then he released the dove a few times. And so we're thinking of them in the context of, they were there the last time the world was destroyed. And they're remembering that, and they're meeting each other again, and they're wondering if that is gonna happen again, because they're seeing all the destruction that's taking place. Raven is a loudmouth who is sick of humans getting second chance after second chance after second chance, and he just wants there to be an apocalypse so that the rest of creation can be freed. Dove will never give up loving everything. Dove is not only the dove who, you know, brought back the hope to Noah, but is also like the Holy Spirit incarnate, the one that descended on Christ in his baptism. She does not speak the entire show. Dove is mute and Dove is wounded. The only way she communicates is through dance. So when you come tonight to see that, that's a little bit of the conversation that we're trying to hold, in that what kind of destruction is necessary for a new creation to enter in? What kind of hope do we need to hold and never give up on, no matter what? And where do they meet? Neither of them are good and evil. It isn't this dualistic opposites, but the tension between them of how that plays together, and looking at the story of the character, they also, you know, they'll be reminding you of their different times they showed up in scripture. They have different personas and perspectives on on what's happening now. And so when you come, you're going to hear their conversation. We kind of wrap all that in storytelling, in music, in drama, and acting, in poems and spoken word. And then that's kind of the core of the show is our theater piece. And then before it and afterward, the rest of the carnival crew comes in, and we try to move through a liturgical element through the night, feeling wind in different ways. So we have different sections where we're lamenting and grieving, different sections where we're giving thanks and honoring, different times where we're doing ritual embodiment and communal celebration, but all through the element. And as Tevin said, you know, we all, as Christians, we worship when God incarnated himself as Jesus, as a human, as we should. But that isn't the only time he incarnates himself, as the examples of the burning bush. The first time he talks to Moses is from a plant, the voice of God in a plant that's on fire. Two elements there. When he talks to Job, it's from a tornado, out of the whirlwind. That's the name of our piece. And the dove, the Holy Spirit, literally in bird form. It comes, he makes the Spirit manifest itself through creation. So to look at that lens through an indigenous perspective is what we're hoping to do there. And so please come and join with us tonight, and we're going to have some discussion afterwards around the concepts, anything you want to talk about, really. So we'll have our presentation, and we'll have our ceremonies, and we'll have the show, and then we're also going to stay afterwards. It's going to be right on the amphitheater that's right there this evening, and we'll stay afterwards and have a conversation with anyone else who would like to. Now we're going to move into some meditative prayer space so we can kind of remember all those words of scripture that connect us to the element of wind.
Luke 12:24. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them.
Genesis 8:11. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth.
Luke 3:21-22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You of my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
Kings 17:2-6. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirith Ravan, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kirith Ravan, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat, and meat in the morning, and the bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook.
John 2:14-16. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at the tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market."
Psalm 74:19-20. Do not hand over the life of your dove to wild beasts. Do not forget the lives of your afflicted people forever. Have regard for your covenant, because haunts of violence fill the dark places of the land.
Isaiah 34, 11 and 12. The desert owl and screech owl will possess it. The great owl and the raven will nest there. God will stretch out over Edom the measuring line of chaos and the plumb line of desolation. Her nobles will have nothing there to be called a kingdom. All her princes will vanish away.
Job 38, 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind.
Psalm 78, 26. He let loose the east wind from the heavens, and by his power made the south wind blow.
Psalm 104, 4. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants.
John 3, 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
Genesis 1, 2. Now the earth was formless, and void and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
The Spirit was hovering. That sounds like something a bird does. Spirit, wind, breath, and air all mean the same thing in Hebrew and in many languages. This next song we're going to sing is in Cherokee. So again, hearkening back to remember whose land we're on and the reconciliation and justice work that is still necessary there, bringing it to our minds. The words of this song are Wende Aho. And in Cherokee, Wen means I am, Awen. Day means of, Yah means the Great Spirit. We're also familiar with that word Yah, right? Christians. Ho is their amen. It means it is so. So when we sing this, it means I am of the Great Spirit. It is so. I'm going to sing it three times through. Feel free to join us. Wende Aho, Wende Aho, Wende Aho, Wende Aho, song. I also want to acknowledge that it is 10:30, so if some of you have classes to go to or places you need to be, You can leave now and no one will be upset. If you'd like to stay, we do have one more song we encourage you to say. I'd like to share a little bit about this next song before we sing it. But thank you, and please come back tonight. See the Wind and Air show and come back to the carnival this coming weekend. Friday night, our water show. Saturday night, our fire show on the lawn of Trinity Presbyterian Church, right on High Street, South High Street. So this last song we want to share, a lot of you, I'm sure, will be familiar with it. It is an old spiritual called I'll Fly Away. So as we're listening to the birds, we're listening to the wind, we want to connect that tradition as well. But I want to touch base with a little thing about this song. Some of you may have been studying this or currently are studying this, but a lot of the slave spirituals have that kind of pie in the sky when you die theology in it that isn't very helpful when you're trying to reconnect to creation. The lyrics say, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. And for a long time, that got interpreted as kind of like, accept your present sufferings, and when you know Jesus comes back, or when you die and go to heaven, everything will be all right. There's some good things in that kind of thinking, but not much. And it wasn't what the songwriters meant. These songs were subversive code songs that were talking about getting out of a place of bondage where they were and coming to a place of freedom before they died. They were signals to each other, talking about the Underground Railroad, talking about escape plans from slavery to get to the north or to find, you know, they had some of that spiritual paradoxical freedom that was found just in being able to worship and celebrate and feel the spirit amongst each other, but they were talking about literally being free before they died. And so when we sing it, we want to honor that struggle towards liberation. We want to hear the voice of the Spirit in their exodus, and the peoples who were enslaved and built this economy, and the economy of this country built on the backs of forced labor for hundreds of years. Remember their struggle, and remember that they took the story of their slave masters and they flipped it around to show them what it really meant. They embodied the story. They lived that Exodus journey. And so when we sing this, in our context, we want to change when I die, hallelujah, by and by, to when we live, hallelujah, give and give, talking more about this reciprocal mutual aid that we need to have with each other and with creation, knowing that we're taking and knowing what we need to give back. But the same melody with all that. So I'm going to start with a little Bob Marley, too. Hear the words of the Christ man say, Babylon's throne's going down, going down. Babylon's throne's going down. Hear the words of the higher man say, Babylon's throne's going down, going down. Babylon's throne's going down. Thank you, EMU, for all your support and for listening. Please come fly away with us tonight and enter into the full show. And visit us this weekend over at the full Carnival de Resistance site. There's lots more stuff besides the performances, too. Games and storytellers and wandering minstrels. Lots of fun carnival things. So visit us there this weekend and have a blessed day.